Make sure your mute function is turned off to allow our signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. Again, it is star one to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Jason Smith with Lake Street. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I just want to start with sort of what the growth rates for SDI have been over the past couple of years, and if you could share sort of how their backlog currently is or has tracked over this past year to just get a sense of how fast you could potentially scale this business.
Hi, Jason. Well, SDI's had a bit of an up-and-down history, largely because it's gone through a number of management changes. It was originally part of a group that was owned by Schneider Electric, and, it's had a little bit of a bumpy ownership background as Schneider made different decisions about getting in and out of various markets, such as automotive, that SDI was originally into. Right now I would say we're on a good growth trajectory. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me in terms of, where they were the past couple of years. If I had to make a guess, I'd say it's in the 10% growth range. But the challenges have primarily been these guys having what I would call a stable management environment to enable them to meet the demands of customers. They have been more production limited than anything else. The backlog today is very strong. I'd say probably, if I had to make an estimate right now, at least two-thirds of the year is already in backlog. Again, similar to EMCOR's military programs, they tend to get orders well in advance of shipments. The picture is far more stable than, the normal commercial businesses.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then just given your comments on leveraging EMCOR's manufacturing efficiency, should we assume that gross margin out of the gate for SDI could be slightly lower than EMCOR's fiber optics portfolio?
I think right off the bat, it's going to be pretty similar. We don't know exactly where, their current quarter is. But if we look at a quarter or two, I think we can make a pretty good set of improvements. So it'll either be at corporate average or I think slightly above as we get into the year, toward the close of the calendar year. Can we get up into the 30s? Well, we're going to go push. Right now, I think they're pretty close to corporate average.
Okay. And the last one for me, and I'll jump back into queue. With you bringing on their facility, how should we think about total capacity for you guys going forward?
The total capacity number is going to be driven by, not so much facility questions as I would call it the CapEx and, what we can do to help improve yields. And I think the team at SDI has some great ideas and is already working through those. We'll get an update on that today. One of my most senior guys is going to be running that business, and I'm sure he'll be on it. But I think that we're going to be able to, hit solid, double-digit growth numbers at SDI, and then we'll run the NAV side at of the FOG products. We're looking for larger growth rates, albeit on a smaller set of numbers. We expect the year to finish up on the FOG products, FOG IMU, roughly in the 15 range, which is over double the size of last year, with really significant growth on top of that. As far as giving you an exact number, Jason, I think we'll be able to give you a better sense in the August call.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take our next question from Tim Savageau with Northland Capital Markets.
Hi, good morning. I wonder if you could talk about and congrats. About SDI's core technology relative, you know, sort of compare and contrast the core technology behind the products relative to what, you know, to EMCOR's fog business. And also I'd be interested if you can comment on any major customers or concentration within the SDI business to either individual customers or individual programs. Thanks.
Sure. So, you know, traditionally MEMS is seen, you know, there's four segments in the navigation product line, not ours, but generally. Commercial, which is very low end, tends to be served by CMOS MEMS. You know, these are the things that are used in drones that, you know, even low-end consumer drones. You've got the tactical world that we do live in. You have navigation grade and then ultimately strategic grade. Strategic grade is really only the province of fiber gyros and laser ring gyros. So what SDI's product line does is it fills out the tactical grade product line and enables us to reach smaller form factors and lighter weight. Quartz MEMS has better vibration resistance. And so, you know, in cases where products go on airborne pods, for example, which have significant vibration under wing, this is where quartz MEMS really shines. So think of it as primarily, you know, augmenting the lower end of the product line. And, you know, they're also, quartz MEMS is more temperature resistant. And what SDI succeeded in doing is really pushing the performance of quartz MEMS up to the, you know, the bottom edge of where we see our fiber optic gyro product line. So it's at the, what we would call 1 degree per hour, inertial measurement unit spec. And because of that, SDI has been able to penetrate, other applications like, you know, directional drilling, which is used in fracking. This is where, you know, the drill bits head down along the bore, and then, you know, they'll make a sharp turn into a layer of rock where the natural gas or the oil deposits are located. And so no GPS down there, so you need an inertial sensor, and SDI has been real successful there. As far as programs go, the two I mentioned, the Mark 48 heavyweight torpedo, and this is used in submarines, and those weapons are fired at other submarines and surface ships. The Mark 54, and that is a Raytheon program. The Mark 54, which I believe is a Lockheed Martin program, is an anti-submarine warfare program, where the torpedo, because it's lighter weight, is actually dropped by helicopter or by, you know, one of the P-3s or other ASW aircraft. The one that's really starting to come into production, I think we'll see this more next year, is the Boeing 777X. For every Boeing 777, there are five of these dedicated flight control inertial sensors that go into the aircraft. SDI is in the process of certifying to commercial aviation standards on that program for Rockwell Collins, who is the avionics supplier. Beyond that, I think the next largest customer is over in the directional drilling area. But we'll provide you some more color on this, Tim, in the August call.
Okay, great. And if I could follow up, just from a, you know, technology perspective, I think in the release you mentioned kind of some sort of chip level process. I mean, is there a fab here? And, you know, if so, what kind of, you know, technology drives that fab? And as you look toward accretion, you know, what are the assumptions sort of behind that? I gather then the business is, you know, not quite profitable at present, but what gets you from here to there by the end of the year? Thanks.
Sure. So on the fab side, you know, again, what this is a crystalline quartz product line. The technologies used to manufacture it are actually very similar to the technologies that we use for some of our products down in Alhambra. Lithium niobate carries more similarity to crystalline quartz than most people might think. There are some unique things that SDI does, but most of those involve what are called wet processes. There's big wet etches. When I say big, I mean long wet etches of hydrofluoric acid that go into shaping the quartz. And we feel like we've got some technology tricks in our bag to make that faster and more repeatable. But there's a lot of synergy between you know, the processes and the steps that are used, you know, the metals in particular. And then there's things that are unique, like the tuning process that they use at the very end to make sure that the forks in the gyro are hitting the right resonant frequencies. Okay. One thing that I do want to make sure everybody understands is that you know, we did pick up their facility, which is worth about $13.5 million. You know, we do own that real estate now. You know, we feel like from a standpoint of tangible assets that we acquired along with the business, we actually fared very well. As far as moving into, you know, how we get them profitable, I think there's some straightforward things that we can do to improve throughput in manufacturing and help them break through a few bottlenecks. There's going to be some costs, I think, that we'll be able to reduce in the short term. There's a little bit of some improvement we'll see from personnel, but you know, the intention is really to build the SDI organization, which has been starved for resources over the past few years, consistent with a quick turn to profitability, and you know, that's our primary objective, and we think we're pretty darn close as it is.
As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. At this time, there are no further questions, and I would like to turn the call back over to the CEO, Jeffrey Rittichier.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for getting up early with such short notice to get on the phone with us and discuss the acquisition. Again, we're real excited about the move here, and in the coming few weeks, as we can release things, we will. We're going to go quiet soon, but more on the product side, and we will update everyone more completely in the August earnings call. Thank you very much, and we'll speak with you soon. Bye.
Bye.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.